This is In Focus, the weekly public affairs program from KTBB and the Team Sports Radio, featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place.
Well, good morning, everybody. Good to have you with us. Welcome to In Focus. I'm Roger Gray. I have a question for you. Have you ever been in a situation where you've been having a little fun, you're out with some friends, beer or two, whatever, and you're thinking to yourself, I'm okay to drive. I can handle it. It's a short drive. I don't feel particularly drunk or anything like that. Our guest today would disagree with you on that, I think, firmly. Let me welcome, first of all, Kathy Davidson, who is the Senior Program Specialist with MAD of Texas, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, and Tammy Branch, who is Victim Services Person with the local MAD group as well. Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome, guys. Good to have you here. Tammy, let me start with you. I know the thing that got me thinking about this was a press release you guys sent out about Super Bowl Sunday last week. You were telling me before that you're not really sure how we did, but you were trying to get the word out. Take it easy. Be sensible. If you're going to party, let somebody drive you home, Uber home, taxi home, whatever, which is sometimes a problem with these big weekends.
Yeah, we do see typically an increase over that Super Bowl weekend. And one of the issues that we have is we want people to plan ahead of time. So don't try to wait until you've had those couple of beers to make your decision on how well you are at driving, because your brain's going to tell you something different from maybe how the rest of your body will respond. So we just encourage folks to plan ahead. Take a minute. It just takes a minute. So either that's a sober friend that's going to take all the partygoers home, or you stay the night, stay put, or you use a rideshare. We have so many options in Tyler. We're really lucky.
Oh, pretty much. I know, particularly New Year's Eve, law firms, other organizations, they offer free rides for people because they know they're going to be celebrating. And frankly, you're talking about planning. You know you're going to be celebrating. You know that.
Right.
You know what New Year's is. You know what Super Bowl Sunday is. You're going to be partying with people. It's not that difficult just to take that one extra step and think, okay, how do I get home now?
Making that plan is very important.
And sadly, too many of us don't. How pervasive is the problem here for drunk driving and all of that? I'm sorry to hit you with statistic question off the bat.
No worries. So the latest numbers we have are from 2024, because it takes us a little bit of time to get 2025 together. So as far as Texas as a state, we had 1,053 drunk driving fatalities in 2024. So that's a lot of folks whose families are forever changed. And and it didn't have to happen if people just made that plan ahead of time. I have it more local. So I serve five counties. I have Gregg, Henderson, Russ, Smith, and Van Zandt. And in 2024, the total number of crashes, this is alcohol-related crashes, so not necessarily a fatality.
Right.
But it is a crash that they have contributed to.
And somebody may well have been hurt, in that crash.
442 crashes.
Okay.
Just in those five counties. So if you go outside of that, I don't know what that number is, but it's big. It's a really big number. And then as far as our fatal crashes with alcohol for our area, I just focus in on Smith and Gregg because they have the biggest population. So we had 12 fatalities in Smith County in 2024 and six in Gregg County. And that doesn't sound like a whole lot, but so that's 18 total families in our area that we might know that lost a loved one. And again, their life will never be the same. It's ended.
And there are, I was a news director in Amarillo, which is wide open spaces. Right. It's flat. It's not very densely populated. And I know there is an attitude that goes with that. Oh, heck, I can speed, I can drink, I can, you know, there's nobody on the road, et cetera, et cetera. Which may explain why you go elsewhere in Texas and you start seeing the numbers. Yeah,
for sure. But as far as per population, mm-hmm. we're actually number two in Texas. Like if you
really
look at,
in the country?
No, in Texas.
Oh, we are in Texas.
Yeah,
okay.
Just in Texas, but we're number two as far as like population density. So per 100,000,
yeah,
we have a higher rate than even like Houston, because again, their population is really big.
Mm-hmm.
So then their numbers make it. They're per 100,000.
I grew up in Houston. Is it number one?
No, it's actually not.
Okay.
I believe it's out in not quite West Texas, mm-hmm. but the oil area.
Oh, yeah. Midland, Odessa,
yes,
around that.
Absolutely.
Well, what I was talking about, it's flat and there's nobody there.
And there's not a lot going on out there as far as entertainment and places.
So you drink. Tammy, in victim services, what is offered by MAD? What's available if you find yourself a victim of a drunk driver?
So what we do, what my job is to walk with that victim hand in hand through the process.
Mm-hmm.
So when we have been notified by either the victim or by the DA's office or even police departments that there's been a crash,
mm-hmm.
I reach out, send a card, try to make contact. And then if the victim decides they want services, then, you know, we can do crisis not necessarily counseling,
mm-hmm.
But we can go to court with them. I help any kind of paperwork they need. If they want to file CVC, I am on the fast track, so I can do presumptive eligibility claims for CVC.
What is CVC? Forget it.
Crime Victims Compensation.
Okay.
So in Texas, if you are a victim of a violent crime, in all states actually,
mm-hmm.
You may be eligible for Crime Victims Compensation.
Oh.
And we MAD advocates, most all of us in the state, are certified presumptive eligibility through CVC so that we can enter the data and get it mm-hmm. sent in and maybe get a response from them a little bit quicker than, say, somebody doing it on their own. So we'll go to court with them. We walk them through the judicial system,
mm-hmm.
and you know, MAD advocates are with them for life until the day they tell us they're done. So
wow,
it's a big role. And you know, on the aftercare part, I get notifications from the state if their offender is up for parole review, if their offender is going, you know, if he's
mm-hmm.
been denied parole review,
right.
Anything that happens to that offender in a Texas prison, I am notified, and then I outreach to the victim and let them know what's going on.
The role of MAD has really evolved over the years. We were, I was telling you guys before we started how long I've been doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Candy Leitner, after her daughter was killed by a drunk driver, began the organization back in 1980.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. I probably talked to her, to be honest with you. I can't remember everybody. I was doing TV in Houston back then. Originally, it was basically she was trying to raise awareness.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I guess that was the initial goal,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yes,
and get legislation and so forth. How has the organization grown over the years?
So we still are working on that awareness piece. We have numerous partnerships. We have partnerships with even some alcohol companies, which is really different. That's
mm-hmm.
happened in the last couple years, but that drink responsibly part. So they helped us do a campaign called Take a Minute, Make a Plan.
Mm-hmm.
That was with NFL, Diageo, and Uber. And it's just talking about if you're going to that sporting event and you know you're going to be drinking, make sure that you plan for your ride before you go out. Like
mm-hmm.
when you're painting your face or picking that outfit to do that. We also, in individual states, are working on different projects. I know Hawaii is currently working on changing the BAC level, or blood alcohol content level, to mm-hmm. 0.05,
okay.
Where it is 0.08 in Texas, where you're legally
mm-hmm.
Impaired. So that we do know that impairment does start before that 0.08 mark. So we have a couple of states that are working on that. We also have implemented like interlocks for first-time offenders, mm-hmm. and that is a law in Texas that we've had for a little while.
This is the breathalyzer.
Correct.
That's connected to your ignition.
Ignition interlock. And that really does save lives because people still do try to drive impaired, and that prevents them from being able to do that. Our newest project, I guess, we had the HALT law passed back in 2021. It's part of the infrastructure bill, and it will mandate that there'll be drunk driving technology in all new cars. We're now hoping for 2030 to have that implemented.
Would that be like, what would that involve?
So the bill itself is tech free. So we didn't tell Congress that this is what you have to have, but we know
use that. Use the Amalgamated Acme exactly. system for yeah. the Chevrolets and
yeah.
Fords.
Because yeah. we're not a tech, auto tech mm-hmm. company, but we do know that that technology is there. It's actually in some cars, but as it is right now, it's an upgrade. So, but there are three different things that, and it's with the National Highway Traffic Safety. They have to make that final determination right. of what it is. So it could be connected to your lane assist. So I know, like, mm-hmm. I have a car that's a 2020, and so if I get tired and maybe drift out of the mm-hmm. lines, it says consider taking a break, and it shows me a little coffee cup. So, yeah, it's a good little message.
I have to tell you, I used to do auto tests mm-hmm. On the air, and they would send me a new car every week to test. And some of the first time I ran into that, one of the models, I think it was Japanese, if you moved across the line, the seat would vibrate. And yeah, suddenly it's like you're getting that. A jolt in yeah. your tush. And it's absolutely. It does. It gets your attention.
Mine beeps really loud. Does yours do?
If I try to change lanes when I have my lane assist on mm-hmm. and I have my smart cruise control on, it jerks me back into the lane.
Okay.
But my that smart assist or the smart cruise control, what it does, you know, it paces you behind the cars. So if I were out there, not that I'm going to ever, but if I was out there driving drunk, if somebody got in front of me and stopped, my car would stop. You know,
is that automatic some, distance?
Yeah, there's some technology yeah. already there.
Yeah, that's out there. Yeah, that's out there now.
So it's the lane assist, so NHTSA would have to decide what exactly that looks
right.
like. But
it wouldn't be a breathalyzer for every car.
No. Okay. But depending on like how many times you swerved and you didn't correct that, then it could actually immobilize your car, like slow it down, take it off to the side of the road, just so that you're not a danger to yourself or others.
Okay.
That's one option. Another one is there is an option for a camera in your car that's watching your eyes.
Wow.
And so it can tell, one, if you're drowsy driving, if you're having a medical emergency, if you're texting and driving, and also if you're impaired, because your eyes do look differently. That's what police officers are looking for when they do that standardized field sobriety test, mm-hmm. and they shine that light. This smart technology that would be able to read your eyes. And then the last one is kind of like a breathalyzer, but it's not.
Okay.
It's passive technology. It could be either through the new cars have a start button instead mm-hmm. of a key turn. Well, that start button could actually read your blood alcohol content through your skin. Yeah, passively. So you wouldn't know that it was doing that unless there was a problem. And then you'd still be able to turn your car on. You just wouldn't be able to put it in drive and go on your way if it was above a certain amount. And then there's another technology. It does put breathalyzer type sensors mm-hmm. above your steering wheel mm-hmm. and in your door. But again, it's so amazing how well it's developed mm-hmm. that it won't matter if you have two drunk people in the back and a drunk person next to you.
Oh, I mean, it's sensitive enough to know that
it can measure
they're not the problem.
Right. It can measure the particulates, and it's just amazing. And again, you're not going to know it's there. You don't have to breathe into anything.
So if you're the designated driver and you have a couple of kids that have been partying in the back, You're doing the right thing, actually.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, and it you won't know anything is going on with your car because you're doing the right thing. The only problem would be is if someone does try to drive impaired, they won't be able to. But again, their car will start. Hmm. So that way, like if they live in Wisconsin or North Dakota and it's freezing cold, they have a warm spot to be. They just can't go out and drive and hurt themselves or others.
Probably don't want to drive on the ice anyway if you're a little drunk.
Yes, yeah. That would be a very dangerous
combination. You don't want to do it dry or wet. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what we're
So you guys
on.
Are working with the NHTSA on that?
So not necessarily MAD Texas, but MAD National, absolutely.
Right.
They have people working in D.C. that are meeting regularly. We have several senators, I think some Congress people that are also backing it as well. And it passed as a law. Mm-hmm. It's just getting that final implementation and there. So,
as a matter of fact, I know a couple privacy advocate folks that are going to object to all this. But the object is to save lives.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. And I mean,
my car's spying on me, that sort of thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that is a concern that people do have. Mm-hmm. Like with the camera, I mean, it would make me a little nervous to know someone's watching me drive, but that information stays with the car. Mm-hmm. It doesn't go anywhere else.
Right.
And that's our stance, is that it's only for the car. It's only for your safety. That data shouldn't go anywhere.
There's not somebody out there who wants to lecture you. It's just, you just can't drive right now.
Right. And you'll be able to once you sober up.
Yeah.
It's just right now is not a smart time. And it could be harmful.
Have you talked to professionals, I suppose medical professionals, psychological professionals? Why do we think we're okay to drive? Is it just the cockiness born of being a little drunk?
I think it just has to do with how it affects our brain.
Because some people are easy drugs.
Right, absolutely. So, but I think it has to do with our brain and how it reacts to that alcohol. Mm-hmm. Because when I'm talking to kids, we will sometimes do the drunk goggle exercise where we have them walk a line and then walk back. And we now have them compare themselves to themselves. So we have them walk it without the goggles and then with the goggles.
Yeah.
And they're always stepping off or whatever. But we remind them,
like, follow my finger. Yeah,
right?
That sort of thing. Yeah.
We remind them, hey, this is only showing impairment to your eyes, but when you're actually impaired by alcohol, it affects everything.
Mm-hmm.
It affects how you're processing information, how you're hearing information, how your body is moving, your heart rate, your breathing, every single thing. And so because it's impaired, your brain isn't working it. And I don't think it can decide that it's too impaired, and our judgment is gone.
Well, the equivalent of somebody who gets belligerent, you know, I'm fine, you know, that sort of thing. Yeah.
When I was a minor and position instructor here in Tyler, I was working with MAD still at the time, and one of the things that I would do is take those goggles. I would do the .08s and the .16s, and these kids would walk down the hallway, and I would throw orange or yellow bean bags towards them, and most of the time, they could not catch them. They couldn't find them because their brain wasn't communicating with, you know, it's too busy focusing on one. I had a couple of kids that figured out if they closed one eye, they could do it. But yeah, I mean, it's
makes
amazing.
It tough to drive with one eye closed.
Right.
Though. Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's interesting. I've heard about them and I figured out what they were the minute I heard about them. How do they work? How do the drunk goggles? Do you know?
I'm not really sure about the science.
What does it look like, I guess?
It distorts the vision.
It distorts, it distorts the vision. It skews to the left, I believe. The problem with using those is that if a kid is, like, really athletic, then their body will compensate for it. And so that's what we have to remind them. Hey, this is just a simulation. This is not an accurate portrayal. Yeah. So don't think that because you could walk the line with them that you'd be okay mm-hmm. in that situation.
Like I'm the exception. No,
right.
I'm so fine.
We just say, if you're going to drink, if you're going to go to a party where there's alcohol and there's a chance you're going to drink, especially even this weekend, mm-hmm. like plan ahead. So if
Valentine's Day, you're right, yeah.
And your significant other are going out for drinks and dinner, get an Uber, because then you don't have to worry about, well, who's going to drive us home or...
Yeah.
Or if one of you doesn't like to drink, or you guys have a system where you take turns, like mm-hmm. maybe this time I get the champagne and next time you get the yeah. wine or whatever. I mean, that could work too, but yeah. the easiest solution is a ride share.
And it's hard. I know it's hard to drink club soda when your friends are having a party, but everybody will thank you. And you'll thank everyone.
Absolutely.
At the end of the evening.
We also have expanded in the recent years to add cannabis products to our cause.
We are leaving that out, aren't we?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, we know that there is more to impairment than just alcohol.
Driving stoned, yeah.
And even some medications that you might even get from your doctor mm-hmm. also can cause that. So you look for that warning label and make sure you're aware.
Don't operate heavy machinery.
Yes. Right.
May cause drowsiness.
Yes.
Tammy, let me ask you, you deal with victims, obviously people who have suffered a loss or perhaps been injured. It has to be difficult. I mean, I'm guessing sensitivity is a big part of this because yes. they've gone through a lot.
They have gone through the worst moment in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And my job is to be there for them, to help them through the process for whatever it is they're going through at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
I sit in DA meetings. You know, I was in a different county recently, and my victims found out that their offender was going to get probation because the two investigators on the scene couldn't agree in their written reports how the man died. One says, well, he fell, and the other one says, well, I can't prove that his intoxication is what killed him. So, you know, sometimes you have to be the voice of reason and say, look, what do you want the intoxication conviction? Because a lot of times, you know, sometimes they have a good enough lawyer, they can drop it down. And so in this case, it was, do we want the intoxication conviction? And if we do, are we willing to take that plea?
Mm-hmm.
It's not our system is not perfect. It is the best that we have. And I can tell you more often than not, the victims are first in the minds of a lot of these district attorneys and all the counties that I work
mm-hmm.
to make sure that these victims and their families find justice.
Well, a layperson would say, well, that's easy. Err on the side of caution. Go with the safest option here, you know, for the general public.
But it's not.
Not necessarily how it works. Huh?
That's not it. Yeah, it's not always how it works. But, you know, I have those hard conversations ahead of time. Try to manage expectations so that when they go in to that district attorney's office for that first meeting, they have, or second or however meetings, they know ahead of time what they can expect. Sometimes I feel like I'm being the bearer of bad news, and
yeah.
I hope that it's never that. But when they're getting hit with something they weren't sure was going to happen,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's always better to be notified ahead of time.
And I'm guessing it's difficult sometimes when you do run into some legal shenanigans to break the news to somebody who's been through a lot.
Yes.
That, sorry, this is not going to go the way you want.
Yes.
What is it? Martin Luther King said, the arc of history bends toward justice. It doesn't always.
Doesn't always. When you have someone, and I'm not going to reference the particular case, but
mm-hmm.
when you have someone who's killed on the side of the road and the driver that was driving that vehicle goes home, and then that family has to choose that plea because there was blood evidence that may have been contaminated. You know, so that when you lose the blood evidence, do you...
Chain of custody and
yes,
all that.
Do you take that plea for intoxication manslaughter, or do you go back under a manslaughter re-indictment? what do you do and how you do it. Mm-hmm. I'm very thankful that most of the DAs that I work with and victim advocates put the victim's needs first. You know, not always, it can't always be what we want, some, you know, in the interest of justice, but for most of the time, they get some form of justice out.
It sounds like your job is almost like half paralegal, half counselor, you know?
I've had to learn a lot.
Because along with that, you're dealing with a lot of emotions.
Yes.
And you have to be sensitive to that.
Yes. And sometimes I might cry right along with them.
Yeah.
You know, it's part of the job. I shouldn't let them see me cry, but sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, knowing where they're coming from, it does happen.
How can you not? I was going back through the history of the organization. You look at Candy Leitner's Pretty Little Girl.
Yes.
Playing Little League Baseball and killed on the side of a road by a drunk driver.
Yes.
I mean, how could you not? Yeah. Be affected emotionally by that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you've dealt, no doubt, with people who've just suffered huge losses.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
How'd you get into this? Both of you.
So for me, it's kind of a funny story. So my mom actually started volunteering for MAD really early after it started. So like 1984, as soon mm-hmm. as I started kindergarten, my mom started volunteering.
Wow.
Eventually, she became an executive director mm-hmm. of the Orange County chapter of Mothers Against Drunk Driving.
Okay.
And she did that for
out in sunny California.
Yep, yeah, out in sunny California. So she did that for almost 10 years.
Okay.
And so I was growing up that whole time. And if you have a parent that works for a nonprofit, you basically work for a nonprofit also. Because
yeah.
you're in there like mm-hmm. doing bulk mailings and folding stuff, filing. And anytime you're not at school, you're...
Kathy, come help me stuff envelopes.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
This stuff comes home. I even got dressed up like the Easter Bunny one year.
Oh,
we
my.
Did like an Easter egg hunt for victim families.
Oh.
So that was an adventure. But I taught school here in Tyler for mm-hmm. a couple of years. But then in 2020, this job came open. And since I had that history and mm-hmm. that need, because I have children myself, to mm-hmm. want to make the world a safer place,
yeah.
it made sense.
So you have seen also, through your mom and now through
Absolutely.
Yourself,
mm-hmm.
the emotional toll this takes on people.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Which makes it all the more unforgivable to be cavalier about this when you are the person who's had one or two drinks too much.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Do you need help? Do you need, obviously, money is always useful, but yep. do you have a need for volunteers and all that?
We do use volunteers. We no longer have an office. So that it makes it a little bit more challenging mm-hmm. to do that. But we're always happy to send some things home with folks or have them participate in events. Most of what I do is I talk to young people and mm-hmm. also parents.
Okay.
So we have learned that parents have the most influence over whether or not their student decides
to. We like to think, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's true.
Yeah.
So 74% of teens say their parents have the most influence on whether or not they use underage drinking. Underage drinking is a problem because we know it can lead to substance use disorders as
Indeed.
An adult. And those oftentimes are the folks that are drinking and driving in our community, although it could be just someone on a date as well.
Sure.
With one or two drinks, it doesn't take a whole lot. I'm working with parents, mm-hmm. trying to tell them, you've got to talk to your kids,
okay.
tell them to wait. It's so important. I'm talking to the kids themselves, letting them know what these substances do to their body, and then just hoping that they make that right choice and they have some refusal skills so
Indeed.
That if someone does say, hey, you want a drink? Well, mm-hmm. maybe they bring their drink from Sonic to whatever party so they can say, no, I'm good. I've already got something.
There you go.
And then I work with law enforcement, so offering support to them, making sure that they are getting folks off the road before a crash. So occasionally I'll bring them cookies or we do awards for them. But just kind of checking in, keeping them aware of the latest laws and information as well.
Okay. Guys, thank you so much. We're just flat out of time. I appreciate it, Kathy. Tammy, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thank all of you. And we will see you next week.
In Focus is a weekly public affairs program featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place. In Focus is produced by KTBB and the Team Sports Radio. And we thank you for listening. Join us again next week.